knowledge and your knowledge. And the knowledge that all of humanity has, except the pecking of this hoodhood in the ocean and what he takes out. What is our knowledge compared to Allah's knowledge and the knowledge of all of humanity, except the little bit of moisture that this hoodhood gets on his beak from the whole ocean, which is nothing. This is what our knowledge is like compared to Allah's knowledge. And he pointed out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responsible for everything in creation. And it is Allah who gives it its power and its ability to move and operate. The impetus just exists. And he pointed out that we should understand that Allah, the one who created everything, it is only Allah who truly can guide humanity. He created it. He created us, He created everything, and He knows that which is suitable for each individual and each aspect of His creation. And he pointed out a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is there any from those that you call on, شُرَكَائِكُمْ مَنْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ, any of them who guide to the truth? قُلِ اللَّهُ يَهْدِي لِلْحَقِّ, say no, Allah is the only one who guides to the truth. Why? Because only Allah knows that which is suitable for His creation. Is not the one who guides to the truth better to be worshipped than the one who needs to be guided? Is he not better to be followed? That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah also says elsewhere, قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, you should know that the truth, the reality, the actual total understanding of things only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the face of this, everything else is insignificant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and truth has come and falsehood is vanishing and it is doomed to vanish. One of the greatest bounties that Allah has bestowed upon us is that to this insignificant creation of His, humanity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for us. We in Allah's creation are so insignificant, we are just like a speck in the whole scheme of things. In the galaxies and the stars beyond, what is mankind? Nothing. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His concern for humanity, saw it fit to legislate for us so that we would be guided aright. And this is something that we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do. Look, Allah says, I have created above you the seven heavens. And you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does it with one word, said to it, be, and it has become. It came into being. Everything that we do, every bit of knowledge that we have, everything that we could produce in respect to what Allah has created is nothing. And the Shaykh was emphasizing this to show how weak humanity is. And Allah strikes up a similitude. He says in the Quran, Allah gives you an example or similitude. So listen to it. Those people that they called on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they cannot create even a fly. Even if they were to come together with all of their technology and all of that they have of knowledge, they would not be able even to create a fly. He says, and even if the fly were to take something from them, they could not get it back. An indication of how weak humanity is in respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, who has the better right to legislate? Mankind in his weakness and his limited insight, his limited capacity, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is infinite, infinite in all ways. Then he opened up his subject matter. That was a bit of what we got from the beginning. He says, mu'amalat, or our relationship, are of four types. Our relationship with the creation, our relationship with ourselves, the way we deal with humanity, and the way we deal with all others of Allah's creation. Categorize our relationships and the way we deal with things into these four categories. The first one is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can tell us better about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than Allah Himself. And without this, we would not be able to understand or even know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah bears witness that He alone deserves to be worshipped. This is a verse in the Quran. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ He bears witness that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Shaykh said, when this particular verse was revealed, he says, and I bear witness also according to what Allah bears witness to about Himself. He says, and Siddiq, when he was questioned about how do you know your Lord, he says, I know my Lord through my Lord. That is through the legislation and how he has described himself, and in no other way. Even the mushrik, he said, in those days they had some sense. That they understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had authority over everything. And so in difficulty, in times of difficulty, they would make their dua sincerely to Allah alone and to no one else. Allah mentions in the Quran, and when they ride on a ship, and the weather becomes inclement, it becomes rough, and they see the waves rising up. Da'awallahu mukhlisina lahu deen. They supplicate to Allah alone, forgetting Lat and Uzza and all other idols. This was the mushrik. So they understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the only one who could save them. And in difficulties, He alone should they turn. He mentioned the situation about the people in our day and time. People in India, he said, they have more than 5 million gods that they worship. He said, and amongst them is the cow. And he mentioned that one of the leaders once got up in a conference and he said, you know, the cow is dearer to me than my mother. He mentions also that you have those who worship idols, those who worship their desires, like in the West, where their desires are legislation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out that sometimes people take their desires as gods, as objects of worship. He said in the Quran, don't you see the one who takes as his Lord his desire? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes him to go astray in spite of his knowledge of this dunya. In other words, they're real intellectual, intelligent, have all types of degrees, but they don't have a relationship with their Creator, so in spite of their knowledge, they go astray. So who shall guide them after Allah has caused them or allowed them to go astray? He says, concerning humanity, we have some of the most outstanding personalities among the intellectuals, people who are considered sound in their minds. Amongst them were the philosophers. And some of them, their philosophy, when they did not receive guidance from the Book of Allah, they landed up denying anything about the Creator. Some of them believed that there was a Creator and that was it. Looking at this, do you think man has the right to legislate? If the most sound amongst them intellectually were like this, do you think man has the right to legislate for humanity? This is a question that the Shaykh asks. He says, look, even their books that have been distorted and twisted, we read at the beginning of Genesis, where they say, and the Lord walked in the garden, and He called out to Adam, Adam, where are you? Didn't know where Adam was. Adam, where are you? Says, didn't even know where he was. What kind of God is this? He says, in another part of their book, they said that Yaqub fought with Almighty God. I'm going to use the word God. All right? Said he fought with Him, struggled with Him. And then God turned to Yaqub and said, man, you don't know who I am? Huh? Says, I am your Creator. He says, yeah. He says, well, you know, I'm going to hold on you until you bless me that I may have a son. He says, so he was blessed to have a son by Allah forcefully. This is the understanding that they get from their book, because it is not pure, and the guidance is not untouched. He says, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who acquaints us with Himself, so we should know how to relate with Him, and we would have an understanding of the one that we worship. Only Allah can do this. That was the first part. The second part is man with himself. He said the soul has authority over the body. The heart has authority over the body. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith, he said, in the body there is a piece of flesh. If it is sound, the whole body is sound. And he said, this is the heart. That is the heart. He says, we must understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out how and what type of relationship we're supposed to have with our hearts. He says that Allah pointed out in the Quran, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Know that Allah comes between a man and his heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes between a man and his heart. If Allah were to place in your heart anger, or you were to be filled with total anger, who would remove it if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so willed to keep it there? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be able to do this. Allah mentions, وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتُهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ. We are the one who causes their hearts and their visions to be turned over. What is spoken of here is the life of the heart. It is the life of, that originates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what we find from the sunnah. Our relationship then with our hearts has to be based on textual evidences that we find in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says in the Quran, answer, O you who believe, answer Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which shall give you life. He said the ulama understood this to mean the life of the heart. That your heart would be awakened. Al-maqsood hayatul qulub. That the heart would be awakened. The ulama of the Salaf used to say, you know, people in respect to their intellect were divided into a few categories. Some of them who had their intelligence in their hands, some in the private areas like Freud, everything was originally from there. Even a child who was stimulated, first of all, by the way he related to his mother and such and such, of course he was twisted at best. And some of them in their hearts. And some of them in their hearts. And this is where the life of the individual begins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about individuals who do not have the life of revelation within themselves as dead. Even though they're walking around, and we call them living, in terms of our deen spiritually, they're dead. Allah says, don't you see, man kana maitan, the one who was dead and we gave him life? Speaking about people who are walking on the face of this dunya, and He gives them life. Life of the heart, the light of iman, the light of faith that produces a different person. He says, and we give him nur, light to walk amongst mankind. Is he like the one who is groping in darkness? They are not equal. He says, what is intended here? Hayatul qulub, the life of the hearts. Man yuhyil qulub, he says, then who gives life to the hearts? This was the question that the Shaykh asked. Of course, the answer is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, that is the second area. The third area is our relationship to humanity. How do we work and relate to people outside of the context of revelation? Is this possible? Is this possible for us to get the best results if we go outside of the context of the Quran and the Sunnah? Using the laws that man has made? Who knows the secret of the creation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. Allah says, doesn't the one who create knows? The one who creates the things that we see, the things that we don't see. Who knows what is suitable for it if Allah doesn't know? He said we had these different types of laws from a long time ago, from the time of the pharaohs, from the time of the people, the rulers of Yemen, Tuba. He says, and we have it in the different forms that we have today in the different societies. He says, do you know who started democracy? Do you know who started democracy? He said it was Fir'aun. He says, Fir'aun, Pharaoh started it. And he said, I would explain to you if we had more time. Perhaps the Sheikh would, inshallah. Okay? He said, it is these types of legislation that destroyed the people. These things that destroyed the people. He said, look at America. They have been trying to fight alcoholism for the longest. Never been successful. One time it was prohibited, then it was reinstated, legislated again, because of the desires of the people. And they put all of these things, they put it out there to get you drunk and then try to fight alcoholism. They have been unsuccessful. He said, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped it in a few verses in the Quran. Allah stopped it in a few verses in the Quran. See, this is Allah's creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how to deal with who He created. He knows. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did it in a way that it was successful. He said, don't you know that in the Arabs' homes they had places where they made alcoholic beverages? The people knew, man, in Jahiliyyah, they knew how to make the booze. They used to, when he said, look, when the delegation of Abd al-Qais came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, you know, Ya Rasulullah, we cannot come to you except in the sacred months. And so tell us that which shall suffice us, and we could convey this to those behind us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them about Iman, and what Iman was made up of. And he told them that you should not use those vessels at home that you used to use to make alcohol in. Because they had it, they had different jars that they used to use and had different names for them, for the different types of alcoholic beverages that they used to make. But these people, they were then alcoholics. But through Allah's legislation, they were trained. And the time came when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that alcohol, gambling, and these other things are the handiwork of the devil. So stay away from it if you're going to be successful. The shaitan only intends to bring enmity and hate between you and these things. And then the verse is, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ Shall you not desist? Some brothers had the alcoholic beverages at their mouths. And when they heard this verse of the Quran, they stopped. And all the jugs were broken up. So much so that when they came to the masjid, you could smell it on them because of how filled the streets of Medina was of alcoholic beverages. Yeah. One verse from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His creation. So who has the right to legislate? Who should have the right to legislate? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created and knows the secret of His creations. He says, look, but we have in this society, you know what legislates people and their desires. Okay, I think we have 3 minutes. Okay. So, in conclusion, we have another, just a few seconds, inshallah. Allah mentions this in the Quran that, you know, people will continue to differ amongst themselves, except the one to whom Allah show mercy. Those who follow His deen. Otherwise, people and this particular particle shows continuity in the future. As long as people are not on Allah's deen, they're bound to be like this. And they shall have confusion. Not only then, but in the future. This is what Allah is saying. Now, here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, after dealing with this area, the Sheikh mentions how we deal with others of the creation. That is with the animals, the earth, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, to Allah belongs whatsoever. Ma is used, which is normally used for unintelligent things. It also can be used for intelligent things. But it is a general expression which includes everything in the heavens and the earth. That everything belongs specifically to Allah alone. Whatever we see and whatever we don't see. He said, don't you know that the earth feels? That the earth has some sensitivity? The Sheikh says, they say that Allah has taken a son. He said, don't you know, this is a verse in the Quran, that the sky comes close to splitting open and the earth breaking apart, that you should claim that Allah has a son? He says, don't you know that the earth feels? Don't you remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was on Uhud and it started to shake and he said, Uhud, keep still because you have on you a prophet, a siddiq and a shaheed came to rest. He said, don't you know that these things feel? He said, Uhud is the mountain that loves us, we believers. What about the jinns, the malaika, the angels, those things that we cannot see? How are we going to relate to them when we don't know anything of them except what we receive through revelation? He said, look man, don't be deceived by the West. Don't be deceived by the West. What Allah has given us is better than that. The Prophet ﷺ was taught by Allah that Allah has placed for every prophet an enemy from among the shayateen. Shayateen al-ins wal-jinn. So that they would reveal to one another a dawn statements of disbelief. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, should we take any other than Allah as a judge and as a legislator? And it is He who has sent down the book in detail to you? Allah says, do not worship any other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, and know that ubudiyya, subservience to Allah, this is the last minute, subservience to Allah means the ultimate in love and subservience. Ubudiyya or ibadah means ultimate love and subservience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentions that love are of different levels. One where you have an inclination, one where your heart is pouring out for something, one where it is filled, and he goes on until he comes to the level of ta'abbud, where you are worshipping Allah. He says, where are we from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then he concludes, he says, when shall we correct ourselves? Have we forgotten death? Have we forgotten that thing that shall destroy all of the hopes that we have? Have we forgotten death? Let us not forget this reality of the time when we're going to be placed in our graves alone. And we shall be swollen up and worms shall be coming out of our bodies. When people will turn away from us, let us remember this time. And may Allah make the best of our days, the days when we shall meet Him. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.